It's Monday!
Yay! Nothing.
Yeah, well, that's about the best we can get. And if we could only feel as good about Monday as we do Fridays, well, think how great the week would be. We just have to deal with Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday. And they were used to talk about a four-day work week. That'd be a three-day work week. Well, be that as it may, it is Monday. I hope you had a great weekend in spite of the Pistons. And the weather was pretty nice, wasn't it? We had tornado warnings all over us. I was trying to watch the golf tournament, and a woman came up half the screen for the rest of the tournament and talked for a half an hour about a tornado in, like, Sanilac or someplace that wasn't going to affect us. But anyway, they have to do what they have to do, or at least that's what we're told. I hope you did have a great weekend. We will talk about the Pistons eventually. We have to. We have good news, though. WJR once again has been named the Station of the Year by the Michigan Association of Broadcasters. Congratulations, our fearless leader, Ann Thomas, Steve Finitari, even Jeff Marcero. But more importantly, the team, the team, the team. Not just those of us you know from being on the air. There are so many people behind the scenes that this award goes to as well, because without their work at the radio station, in all of the positions, without their work, we couldn't do our work, and we couldn't be named once again the Station of the Year.
All right.
Thank you, Michigan Association of Broadcasters. All good news. We all got various individual awards as well, but the most important one is the one for the entire station being chosen number one. And Ann accepted the award, and it was all good. Saturday, I was on the air, another special one of those Victor's giveaways, and we had Amy O'Strike on, and we met the new regional president of Victor's Home Solutions, and working with Jeff Oben. And of course, Ken and Chuck were there. They were on. They were the opening act from 10 till noon. They were kind enough to have me come by at the last part of their show. I did the ceremonial cigar presentation. They did something different. They did a ceremonial bottle of wine presentation.
Very classy.
Which was very classy and very much appreciated. And it's not some, it was not Boone's Farm apple wine, which is what was my wine of choice throughout school. It was a very good bottle of wine with a cork in it even. So, you know, this is good stuff.
Wow, that's how you know it's legit.
Yeah. Now, there are some legit with screw bottle caps now. There are. I just, you know, and I've bought them. I've used them. Let's see. A couple of things. Oh, I wanted to mention to you, I didn't know if you see this. I don't think you read the newspaper like I do. You're of that generation, young man, where you probably don't get ink-smudged fingers from the newspaper.
No, but I do check the news and free press every day.
Online?
Yes.
Yeah, okay. See this? You might not be familiar, but that sound, that's a rustling newspaper, just like the good old days. Okay, here it is.
Tell us more.
Interested in taking home a piece of Tulip Time. See, now I got your attention.
Yes.
Ye who went. Your chance is coming up soon during Holland's Tulip Dig. Never heard of it, but here it is. This year's event will begin at 9 a.m. May 30th at Centennial Park. Window on the Waterfront, and Windmill Island Gardens. The annual dig hosted by Holland in Bloom allows participants to gather tulip bulbs to plant in their own gardens at home.
You know what, Paul? I bet you that is a madhouse.
Oh, I bet it is, too. Swinging shovels everywhere. Designated locations for digging, and participation is $10 per 5-gallon bucket. The event is cash only, first come, first served, and attendees must bring their own buckets and digging tools.
Right.
They just wanted to make that very, very sure. Okay. According to organizers, participants can usually fit 50 to 60 bulbs per 5-gallon bucket. They don't advise removing the leaves and stems before digging up the bulbs. Instead, the recommended technique is to dig about 8 inches down and loosen the soil around the bulb before bringing it to the surface.
That's a really cool idea.
I thought you would like that.
My wife would love it.
You might surprise your lovely wife with that little idea of maybe going up there and say, didn't we love Tulip Time? Wasn't that great? Well, how'd you like to experience it again and bring it back home?
Wow.
What do you think?
You've got me sold. Now I'm excited for tulips.
They should have me doing commercials for the tulip dig.
Yeah, they really should.
I do them for everything else. All right. It was a great event, putting a roof on a guy's house, Randy Moore. What a horrible story. This single now dad with three boys lost his wife at the beginning of the year. And what a story it was. And what joy for Victor's Home Solutions to be putting a free roof on his house. We've gone through a number of those and well worth it. Okay. If there's ever been, well, first of all, happy birthday to you. I want to do that every day now because there are people, sadly, who don't have people around to wish them a happy birthday when it's their birthday. But I'm telling you, if you listen to WJR, you have family. That's us. So happy birthday to you if it's your birthday. And that would include my old friend Paul Devers from Toledo at Vin Devers Auto House. And Timothy Merman, who used to keep an eye out on his elderly neighbor, to keep an eye out for her. And that neighbor was my mother, Sweet Marie.
Oh, how great.
And how great is Timothy Merman, the youngest brother of the Merman family. You've heard me talk about Paul Merman, Marie Merman, the late now Patrick Merman, and Timothy Merman. I grew up next door to them on Tremont Street in Monroe. And then he ended up living in his grandparents' house, which we ended up buying a house for my mother all on one floor. So anyway, happy birthday, Timothy. Happy birthday, Paul Devers. Happy birthday to you. Let's see what else. You know, this, I don't even want to talk about this slime bag Luigi that's got a fan club. He represents everything that's bad in America, in my opinion. Anyway, I do want to talk about what I think proves there may, in fact, be a need for sports psychologists. If any team needed a sports psychologist last night, it was the Pistons. Because I think you'll have to admit with me, something was very wrong.
Right.
This was not the team that we know. We still love, but this was not the team we know. What the heck happened?
Yes.
Any thoughts or opinions?
Well, especially after game six, where it looked like they finally got it together. I mean, you know, Paul, there were times in the Orlando series where they just looked like a young team where the lights were a little too bright for them. And I got that same feeling last night watching game seven against the Cavs.
At home.
Yeah, right.
With the crowd.
Although Dan Gilbert did bus up, what, 25 busloads
25?
Of fans?
I was trying to think, how much does it cost to send a bus? From, I know it's peanuts for him, but
right.
Wait, it's got to cost $5,000 a bus? I don't know. What's it cost to send a bus from Cleveland to Detroit?
Well, from what I heard, all the other expenses were paid, too. The tickets, food,
oh,
and
I'm
beverages
sure it was free
on the way
for everybody.
Up.
Maybe yeah. Even, he might have gotten them food. Dan's a generous guy. And that helped. Our team didn't look like we were there at all.
Right. We're like, this
and
is...
I don't get that.
Yeah, this is the number one seed. I mean, to go to a game seven and lose by 30, that's nuts. You would think a game seven, it would be closer because the fact that it's game seven suggests that these teams are more evenly matched than a 30-point blowout.
Yeah. I don't know what else to say. I mean, there's just no way to look at this and see anything good. So now my Monday column in today's Detroit News, I have to write that a few days ahead of time. Obviously, it was before the game. But I did talk about something to be very happy about because I didn't write the headline, but the headline says it. Detroit sports fans finally catch a break, and it's all about Tom Gores and Vice Chairman Arne Tellem working out that deal with WMYD TV20, the official now local broadcast home of the Pistons. So we can know where they are and we can watch them for free. God bless them on that. That's the good news that comes out of all of this. We've got more because we've got Relentless Positive Radio with Mike Parsons, Danielle Mason, Rich Luzinski, and you, our most valued audience. We appreciate it with you on your way to making each and every day count. You know that each day is a gift. And I want to thank you for choosing to be a part of the best and brightest audience in all of radio by choosing the Michigan Association of Broadcasters Station of the Year. This one, WJR. I see commencement speakers booed when... AI. That's funny. What a backlash. What a backlash for AI. Who knows where all of this will go? Relentless positive radio when we can, and sometimes maybe not. Caitlin Buss, the best, deputy editorial page editor for the Detroit News, here to talk about, it says here, big week ahead for Trump-backed primary candidates after some early election season successes. Well, that's good. Let's hear about that, Caitlin. Good afternoon.
Hey, Paul. Good to be with you. Yeah, we've got, I guess, an interesting election coming up here tomorrow. The one that's kind of drawn me in most, I think, is this contest between Thomas Massie and this Trump-backed candidate in Kentucky. Trump has taken the full force of his ire out on him, on Thomas Massie for... in his mind, breaking with the Republican Party on various things. But I think what we're seeing is that the Trump endorsement, in certain places still has a ton of weight, and probably in any place with a lot of GOP voters. It still, can make or break people's political careers. So I think that's even against, the background of higher disapproval ratings and concerns over, cost of living and all that. In GOP primaries, Trump can still make or break it.
We had the story of Senator Bill Cassidy of Louisiana over the weekend losing his Republican primary and the chance to seek a third term because President Trump targeted him for defeat in retaliation for voting to convict him in his impeachment trial 5 years ago. So I was pleasantly surprised that the president still has, as you just pointed out, Caitlin Buss, a great deal of power.
Yeah, no, I think there's been a lot of interest in how these were going to go and, kind of a measure of how Trump is doing right now, especially as we're heading into the midterms in November. And so it's been a little surprising to me, too. But, again, I think that's you're seeing it kind of in the South. There's probably more GOP voters down there in heavy GOP areas. People kind of feel that safety to, talk about Republican politics a ton and get in the weeds on that. And Trump has felt safe to endorse in those races. With Massie, he's targeted him. When you look at Michigan, I think it might play a little differently. I'd be surprised if Trump gets as involved up here and he's said, or his surrogates have said he's not going to, at least in the GOP gubernatorial race, because, as much as it would help solidify a leader in that race, it might also have some backlash in November if that person, were to win. So just different parts of the country need to weigh it differently. And I think Trump has evolved a lot in knowing when to weigh in and when not.
The one that's caught my attention, and it's meaningless in the scheme of things. Well, maybe not meaningless. Think of the idea of L.A. turning around and being a good place to live, or San Francisco turning around and being a good place to live, or New York City turning around and being a good place to live. So these things are not meaningless. But this Spencer Pratt certainly has gotten a great deal of attention, hasn't he, Caitlin?
Yeah, he has. And, I like his really direct style. A lot of people do. And it's hard to keep up with all these races, but on X, I saw he responded to someone, he's been obviously, displaced because of the fires out there and just kind of a real down to earth, I had to move out of my house. What is this criticism for? So I think we're seeing that authentic style really resonate. Obviously in a place like California, that's just been destroyed. Someone like that has a huge opportunity to win.
And is he a Republican or an independent?
I would have to clarify. I think he might be an independent.
That's what Mike Parsons was telling me off air. I said, is he a Republican? Okay. And he said he might be an independent.
Yeah, I'm not. I would have to check for sure. Like I said, I've seen his ads. I've, kept up with the commentary around him.
Latest thing he's saying.
Too far away for me to know the weeds.
The latest thing is he's saying that if a Democrat like Karen Bass If Karen Karp gets reelected, that bozo, I can't call them stupid anymore. If that ignorant, that was a line from Saturday Night Live many years ago. I'm not going to use the whole line. Ignorant Karen Bass, the current mayor who has failed in every way. He said if she wins or the other Democrat wins, he's moving out of California. He'll take the money he got from the insurance company or is going to get, and he won't rebuild his house, which, by the way, that was a very effective commercial where he shows his little motorhome that he supposedly had to live in. Of course, he took some of the insurance money and moved into a hotel, and people tried to hold that against him. But be that as it may, the guy just is catching a lot of people's attention. Mike, you join in on this. Was he on some kind of reality show or something? Was he a television star before he decided to run for mayor?
Yes, and Danielle is well-versed in this as well. Yeah, he was on a show on MTV called The Hills where he was the quote-unquote villain on the show.
Best villain in history. He's also been on many other reality TV shows where he is also the villain and whatnot. He's the best.
Do you like this guy? Would you
vote for him? I love him. I would vote for him in a heartbeat.
Wow.
Yeah.
You got all that right, Caitlin?
There you go.
That's the younger demographic that's so hard to capture.
He's very passionate about the things that he likes or the things that he's interested in. For a while, he was really interested into holistic medicine and holistics and crystals. So he was really engulfed in that. So I trust him. When with this passion he has now.
So, Caitlin, if you need any research on Spencer Pratt, we have someone
I
for
know.
You.
Jeez. I'm going to go.
No, Caitlin, stay.
I'm afraid to ask her what she thinks of that slug Luigi who just won a case in a court. Not the important one. The gun is still going to be evidence, but stuff that was found in his backpack several feet away from him, they're going to say was not legally investigated, but that's just, a clip and a passport and whatever. There's plenty of proof that this guy should go to prison at the very least for the rest of his life. But anyway, I'm not going to ask Danielle where she stands on Luigi.
Oh,
she's
no,
a...
he goes to jail. It's
oh,
fine.
Good. Oh,
yeah.
I'm so glad. I've been afraid to ask you. Well, I'm sure, Caitlin, you're happy that you're a part of this conversation.
it's a big election, you know. I mean, people are frustrated with a lot of things. It'll be interesting to see where all of this lands in 2026.
It really will be. And it's interesting to see so far that the president still has great sway with his party. And that's a good thing. You want a president to still get along with his own party because, you know, the other party's going to hate him no matter what he does, right or wrong.
Yeah, well, he had a lot of capital built up, so I think it's a lot of it's still there.
What are you working on this week?
Looking ahead, there's been quite a bit going on with MSU, obviously, even just last night. So I've been looking at that. And again, looking into some of these congressional races and how everything is heating up for the summer.
Are you going to be able to make it up to Mackinac for Sandy Baruja's chamber conference?
I am not, but Nolan will be there, and we've been planning for that, and we'll have a couple other people from the news up there.
All right.
It sounds like a great program.
Always is.
Yeah.
And we'll talk about you behind your back, but it's all good things because that's what you are. You're good at everything you do. We appreciate it, Caitlin.
If it's not, just don't tell me. All right. Thanks, Paul.
Because then it won't matter. Caitlin Buss, Deputy Editorial Page Editor for the award-winning Detroit News. Heading toward 12:30 at 760 WJR. Now, be as gentle as I can be about this in this headline, if you will. The Cleveland Cavaliers dominated the Pistons in Game 7 last night at Little Caesars Arena, 125-94. Not a single Piston broke 20. I bring on our sports expert, Jamie Edmonds, who also happens to be co-host of JR Morning with Chris Lloyd and Jamie. Jamie, you're my sports expert this afternoon. I'm just going to throw it open to this question. What the heck happened?
I mean, good question. I think the Pistons are asking that question today of themselves because they were down 3-1 to Orlando. They were down 3-2 to Cleveland, forced this game 7. So they had it in them during elimination games, but they just didn't come up with the same fervor that the Cavaliers had to start the game, and then they got down big.
I said earlier that if there was ever proof that there is a place for a sports psychologist, it's the fact that the Pistons could have used a sports psychologist last night, because they did not at any one point in time look like they even believed they could win.
They just look so listless, which is so crazy on your home court with Game 7. And you know who else could use a sports psychologist is Jalen Duren, because he was an all-star during the regular season and then not a great performance in these playoffs.
What do you think? I don't know. You know, I feel bad for everybody. I feel bad for the fans. Look, it's easy to say, and it's true. The Pistons had a fabulous season. We remember two seasons ago, what did they win, 14 games?
14.
I mean, they had a tremendous season, but we kind of got sucked in, and we kind of expected more just based on what we've seen them do, and none of that was there last night. I feel sorry for the coach. I feel sorry for the players. I feel sorry for the fans.
Yeah, I mean, it absolutely was just not like, I thought they could lose. Maybe they lose on a buzzer beater or something, because anything can happen in a game seven. But losing like this, that is the surprise for me.
Was it like 30 points or something? Here we were so big on winning by 20, and they came back and just creamed us. It was not pretty. Yeah. Now, I don't have a lot of respect for a team that looks like they could be big-time wrestlers with the acting that they do. Oh, I mean, the amount of acting those guys did was ridiculous. I was embarrassed.
Especially James Harden. I mean,
well, James Harden can't take a shot. He can't take a shot without falling on the floor, even when there's no one 5 feet around him.
It's kind of the NBA game. Like, if you feel a little contact, you like sort of embellish. That's exactly what the Cleveland Cavaliers did.
They announced they were going to do it, though. They announced they were going to do it before the first game, or maybe after the first game.
And they certainly executed. But I always think of hockey players when these giant guys are writhing on the ground when they've got like a little tap from another player. Right. Hockey players like play through, you know, broken teeth and everything.
Right. It's a very good point. And unfortunately, most of these basketball players are making much more money than most hockey players. So it is funny to see. Now, any last thoughts on the game? At least now we'll be able to watch them on television free. And I thank Tom Gores and Vice Chairman Arne Tellem for that good news. It'll all be on WMYD TV 20 Detroit. That's the good news. I wrote that in my Detroit news column because I wrote it long before the game.
Well,
but that's
okay,
the positive
news. Well, here's my more positive news, Paul. I really think this team is learning. And how do you learn? You learn through adversity like this when you lose this heartbreaking way on your home court. Like, they're going to come back next season with hopefully a couple more pieces from Trajan Langdon, and they can get to the Eastern Conference Final. There's a good core here.
Yeah, there certainly is a good core. I just can't figure out how it could all just be gone like it was last night. As you point out, on the home court, 25 buses be damned, they lost. I want to know how you're feeling, and I know that the latest episode of Jamie's Journey, your podcast, Angels Along the Way, is now out. But most importantly, how are you feeling?
Well, thanks for asking, Paul. I'm feeling okay. Mondays are my best day because I'm gearing up for another treatment on Tuesday morning. But I have a big milestone coming. The first drug I had to do 12 times weekly, and tomorrow is my 12th. So I still have a long journey, but I can't believe I've come this far.
12 times weekly?
Yes, for this first drug, and tomorrow is number 12.
Oh, I'm so happy for you. Sport coat, thanks to Marie Osborne, I have the pink ribbon. I'm not wearing my sport coat at the moment, but my sport coat has that pink ribbon. And I have asked, when people ask me, I'm wearing it until Jamie's free and clear of cancer.
Mm, that is so sweet. Thank you, Paul. I appreciate it.
Well, we love you, and we love your talent, and we love you as a person and as a family member. And along the way, any way we can help, you know we will. And talk about Jamie's Journey, Angels Along the Way. Your latest edition is out now. Just a quick summary.
Just quickly, it's my third episode. I talked to a therapist from Henry Ford to talk about the mental load of getting terrible news like this, and hopefully it relates to a lot of people. And I have a lot planned for this podcast. It's really been cathartic for me, and hopefully it's helping a lot of people going through cancer out there.
Oh, I promise you. You could have been very quiet about this, and dealt with it on your own, but you realized how you were helped by other people talking to you and telling mm-hmm. you their story. So you decided you were going to help as many people as you could with your platform and tell your story. And I will forever salute you for that, Jamie. Thanks so much.
Thank you. Have
a great last dose of this this medicine from your 12th take of it. I hope that I hope it does everything it's supposed to do, Jamie.
So do I. Your lips to God's ears.
Well, it's, I like to say that, and I'm glad you said it. Jamie Edmonds, co-host of JR Mornings with Chris Lloyd and Jamie, and of course, Jamie's journey, Angels Along the Way. Look for it wherever you find your favorite podcasts, because this should be one of them. 12:43 at 760 WJR. Lots going on, that's for sure. Let me give you a little bit of good news from WJR, Michigan Association of Broadcasters, number one big city radio station. Again, congratulations, Ann Thomas and the team. The team includes not just those of us you know from behind the microphone, but all the other people who are really behind the people behind the microphone. The entire staff is a family here at WJR, and none of us could do what we do without each and every one of them. In engineering, in sales, started mentioning areas, but all the, Mike, help me, what, all the different areas, people that work on the logs, people that do all the different things that are done, the board operators, everybody.
Yeah. Producers, Mark Blackwell, and who makes our
production,
commercials.
Yeah, commercials. So everybody is part of the team and share in this Michigan Association of Broadcasters, fabulous Michigan Association of Broadcasters, number one radio station once again. And you're a part of it. That makes you number one, too. We appreciate you choosing to be a part of the best and brightest audience in all of radio. See, I've been saying that a long time, and it's so true. While you're on your way to making each and every day count, because you know each day is a gift. Quick note here, it's WJR's Tim McGraw VIP experience. Your chance to rock when country music legend Tim McGraw brings his Pawn Show guitar tour to Pine Knob Music Theater August 28th. So do people enjoying country music, do they also rock like people enjoying rock music?
Yeah, there's a lot of crossover there, I would think.
Okay. You could win a pair of premium pavilion tickets, transportation courtesy of our friends at Metro Cars, the best, and $100 to Buddy's Pizza. Yummy, the best as well. To enter, it's easy. Download the free WJR mobile app and find the secret key word. Then text it to 800-859-0957. Okay, this is easy. Download the free WJR mobile app. Find the secret word, or as Groucho used to say, secret word. Then text it to 800-859-0957. And don't worry if you don't know the reference to Groucho. It's okay.
You're still eligible.
Nobody is that old. Not even me. For more information, visit WJR.com. More information at WJR.com. Well, we were going to talk to Steve Dolent, retired Detroit Police Assistant Chief. Police are warning about Water Wars game where the kids are using realistic-looking squirt guns. I didn't think they were legal anymore. Didn't we solve this problem a long time ago? Didn't we make it illegal to make toy guns look realistic because of all the trouble those toy guns almost caused or did cause with people actually even losing their lives? I thought they had to be orange or green or have an orange tip or a green tip. Didn't you think that was the case, Mike Parsons?
Yeah, and if it's not illegal, it should be, because, number one, I don't know why they're even being sold. And number two, why somebody would buy a squirt gun that looks like a real gun. Now, I think some of these kids are taking the orange tip off of it, but even
that's
then.
That's stupid.
Right. But
I'm
even,
sorry, I'm not supposed to use the word
that's
stupid.
Bozo.
That's bozo-like.
Well, and here's the other thing, too. Why are you even manufacturing squirt guns that look real if you take the orange tip off of it?
Nothing about them should look real.
Yeah.
They should look like squirt guns.
Right. Like Super. Back in my day, we had the Super Soakers. And they were quite obviously.
And I think you used well water at that time, if I'm not mistaken.
We did, yeah. Well, the glaciers were just melting, so that gave us.
Yes, and it was our fault, the older generation, that melted those damn glaciers. I didn't mean it. I never knew it was happening.
Well, that's okay. If you didn't, I would have no water for my squirt guns.
The other thing that's happening, and that Steve was going to talk about, and we can talk about here, is that the Detroit Police Department is stepping up patrols for teen takeovers. What the heck is going on with these? I saw a teen takeover on the news here a little while ago, and they were in a fast food restaurant throwing tables at each other. What is this about?
Yeah.
Besides being very Bozo-like.
Well,
even Bozo wouldn't do that.
Yeah, well, and I don't know how they started. I mean, the first one I saw was just some kids going into a store and telling people to go shop at the store. But obviously, the more people get involved in something, the more chance that there's a Bozo in there ruining it for everyone else. So I think it started off at something somewhat positive, and it's gotten out of control. And I know that the city of Detroit are trying to figure out ways, give teenagers a place to go so that, you know, they're not going to be loitering where they're not supposed to be. But it's become an issue.
Yeah, it is an issue. It's like crazy issue. Coming up, Tyrone Levin will be with us. We've got lots to talk about. My gosh, they just busted a group of anti-Semitic people who were planning on terrible things, like in 20 different cities.
Yeah.
I mean, like, what is going on here? Then Patrick Anderson will be here. He's concerned, as many people are, that there are deaths in Michigan outpacing births. This is not the first time we've talked about that, but it is a major issue. So there's a lot more to talk about, and we will continue to do our best with relentless positive radio, which means we won't probably talk too much more about the Pistons because there's, you know, it's the positive note is they had a great season. Can't take that away from them. The positive note is that Arne Tellem and Tom Gores have made a great deal so we can watch the Pistons. We'll know where to watch them and for free for the next season. We continue in Focus on WJR. Good Monday afternoon to you. It's the 18th day of May. This is hour number two of Focus with Paul W. Smith, the team, the team, the team, with relentless positive radio. Our producer, Mike Parsons, Daniel Mason, Queen of the Switches, Rich Luzinski, keeping an eye on WJR traffic and weather first along the way as you're on your way to making each and every day count. Each day is a gift. We all know that. We just don't always remember it. All of us, including me, need to be reminded. And QTR, as Kim would tell us, quality time remaining. Nobody has a number on that one, so bear that in mind. And thanks for choosing to be an important part of the best and brightest audience in all of radio, because you're listening to the best and brightest radio in all of radio. According to the Michigan Association of Broadcasters, we are the number one radio station in big markets, period. Congratulations to Ann Thomas, our fearless leader, Steve Finitieri, Jeff Marcero, and the team, the team, the team. That's not just those of us who are lucky enough to be on mic, as they say. It's all of the people behind the scenes, from the salespeople, the producers, the board operators, the engineers. What else, Mike? Let me just put it this way. It's a blanket. Anybody who works at WJR deserves to share this number one award, period.
Right. And Paul, I know you haven't mentioned this yet, but you were recognized for a couple of things as well, so congratulations.
Well, you know, I mean, that's all great. I don't do this for the awards. I do it for the money.
Right.
But, you know, the fact...
and the perks.
All the perks.
And the women.
And the women. Kimberly is the only woman. Anyway, I love getting awards. Everyone does. Mm. But I can't stress enough that this award is the most important one. You know, it's like they take a player and you go, "Well, you did this and you did that." And he goes, "Yeah, but we lost the game."
Right.
Well, you did this, you did that, but we won the game.
Right.
And that's the good news.
Well, yeah, and every award leads to points that get factored in. So it's just
really what points are those that get factored in?
Whatever points you get for whatever.
That sounded so good, but I thought, I don't know what he's talking about.
Yeah. I mean, anyway. I could read you the entire sheet, but it would take a while.
Yeah, don't do that. All right. You can stream us. You can podcast us later. If you missed the show, can't be here noon to 2, podcast us at WJR.com. Hope you have the free WJR app. There's a contest now that you can join. Facebook and YouTube pages are streaming our video live. And, of course, we're the sandwich. We're a happy sandwich in between WJR All Talk, Kevin Dietz, and just great shows. And followed by JR Afternoon with Ryan Ermani. He was on vacation, right? It wasn't like he was out getting surgery or something.
So he was at a golf outing on Thursday, and then Friday he was...
What is he, in sales? Oh, sorry.
Well, he's an athlete. I don't know. And then he actually was sent to the Indianapolis 500 by Fox. So that's why he had
Did the Indianapolis 500 already happen?
I know. That's what I said, too. I'm like, wow.
I don't think it has it?
Either
he
that.
He might have been there for the advanced stuff. I've been there for the advanced stuff and for the races. But I don't. Has it happened and it can't? And we never talked about it? Wow. That's like the Kentucky Derby.
So this is, well, it says it's on Sunday, May 24th. So, yeah, it must have been.
Well, but it's only May 18th.
Yeah, so I don't know. We can ask. We can ask him. Maybe he just went down to get the shrimp cocktail at St. Elmo's Steakhouse. I don't know.
Maybe we shouldn't ask him because that's what he told Nicole, his beautiful wife,
yeah,
who I knew before he did. But anyway, a couple of things here. Well, we don't want that. Let's take a look at this. The boil water advisories, they're lifted for the communities impacted by the water main break in Auburn Hills.
Yeah, talk about under-promising and over-delivering. Remember,
nice
they
job.
Said, yeah,
yep.
It'd be 2 weeks, and it took about a week. So,
U.S. House okays bill with $162 million for Selfridge Air Base upgrades, according to Melissa Nan Burke in the award-winning The Detroit News. Why is that? I thought all this was approved already.
Well, and that's a good question, and we're going to have Mark Hackle on tomorrow to help sort it out. But
okay.
I know some of the funding was from the state budget, some of it was from the federal budget, so you're right. It seems like every few months there's great news about Selfridge, which is really good, but it's like, how's that different than the news we got before?
Yeah, I thought this was a done deal. Oh, just wanted to mention, because I don't think they get enough attention, Luigi's, which is, what is that, St. Clair Shores, kind of, Harrison Township, it's out there where Mark Sniffkamp lives. He stopped by, in fact. We went with
Harrison
Mike
Township. Yes.
Harrison Township. We went with Mike Schadowski, the shelving.com magnate, and Lath Leo from Metro Cars. And we went to Luigi's Friday night, actually. Dean Olgiati and his wife, Kristen, they run a tremendous restaurant there. And the people that know, like Tom and Mary Ragusa from SunSport Marines. They stopped by. Julie, our waitress. I told you, Mark Sniffkamp. They have such good food and so reasonably priced. Prime rib, very reasonably priced.
I love a prime rib.
And great pizza. Great everything. Everything they do is very good.
Well, and here,
Luigi's.
Here's the thing, Paul. I'm looking at pictures from inside the restaurant.
Yeah.
I love an Italian restaurant with wood paneling and the checkered table coverings.
This is everything you would love in an Italian restaurant and then some. Really.
The food looks good, too.
It's very good, and the service is great, and Dean and Kristen are wonderful people, the owners. All right. Sunday, that was yesterday as far as I know. Carol Kane does a great job, columnist in the Detroit Free Press, in the USA Today Network. Carol Kane did a profile feature story on one of the nicest guys I know, Bob Riney.
I saw that.
Bob Riney, who started his career at Henry Ford Hospital as a security guard and worked his way up to the finest president and CEO of Henry Ford Health, period. Bob Riney. You can find this online still, right? These things live on forever online. So find it under the business section of the Detroit News. And I'm just going to tell you, everything good you've ever heard about Bob Riney is absolutely true.
Well,
it is correct. And not an easy time to run a huge health system, but he's doing a nice job with it. And, of course, they just had this big, they just had a big event.
Yeah, they put the top on the on the new development they're building over there.
I thought we were going to be broadcasting from there, but we will broadcast from there soon enough. And by the way, with all the work he's doing with all the different things, he is going to be or is the chairman of Sandy Baru Oz Detroit Regional Chamber's annual Mackinac Policy Conference taking place May 26th through the 29th on Mackinac Island and at Grand Hotel. And we will be there. Is the morning show there?
Yes.
Or is it the...
It's us and the morning show.
All right. So it's the morning show and us. We'll be there.
And we'll be talking to Bob up there.
Yeah, good. Oh, excellent. I'm glad you got that booked. So that was a nice piece. And then I saw this piece, Letters to the Editor. What could top an American Pope? A Michigan Catholic saint. And it was, in fact, Edmund Fitzgerald, like the ship. No. Edmund Ahe, who introduced me in the first place to Blessed Solanus Casey. And apparently he is up for sainthood. I did not know that.
Wow.
I can tell you this. He should be a saint. A canonized saint with Detroit roots would draw pilgrims, inspire charity, and lift Michigan into a global witness of faith and mercy. So say a prayer. This canonization would be a blessing, not just for Michigan, but for the whole world. That's from no relation, Matthew Smith Jr. in Davison, Letter to the Editor, with a big picture of Father Solanus Casey, who, if Edmund Ahe did not introduce me to him, he didn't introduce me to him, but he introduced me to the whole concept and gave me a scapula, which unfortunately I can't find, which had a piece of Father Solanus's garment in it.
Wow.
Really very special. So it's the Ahes, and the Ahes continue to raise money on behalf of the Capuchin Soup Kitchen and all that. A great family and a great saint. Some of the Ahes could be sainted, for goodness sakes. All right, Relentless Positive Radio, we're underway, 114 WJR. As we continue in focus, Paul W. here, Relentless Positive Radio, on your way to making each and every day count. You know that each day is a gift. We all need reminders from time to time. Freelance journalist, born in Israel, served in the Israeli military, Daron Levin joins us with an awful lot going on here. There's this large-scale attack on Jewish institutions in major U.S. cities that were thwarted over the weekend as anti-Semitic flyers were littered all over Berkeley. And I saw a story that they were here in our area on door handles, and I'm hoping that the door cameras caught these people. But I got to ask my friend Daron Levin, what in the heck is going on, Daron?
Well, unfortunately, and first of all, hi, Paul. It's good to always hear your voice and to speak having the privilege to speak to your listeners. It's unfortunately, anti-Semitism is something that's been around for thousands of years. It takes different forms at different times. We know that, and the reasons for it are mysterious, and the theories are multitudinous, but we know that there are attacks from the left, attacks from the right, attacks against Jews because of what's happening in the Middle East. And it's clear that this episode in which these flyers were passed out in Berkeley was meant to intimidate somebody. And what a shame for something like this to happen on the 250th anniversary of the United States, a wonderful country that basically exists today because of religious prejudice in the past and the need to have freedom of worship. That's where the original settlers came from to occupy this country and settle this country. And isn't it sad that 250 years later, I have to go to worship under armed guard because of people like the people who are leaving these flyers around, and like the person who crashed into Temple Israel with the plan of murdering children. It's unspeakable. There are no words. What can I say?
There are no words. It is unspeakable. It is indefensible. It is astonishing 250 years later. Be that as it may, who's behind this? And by the way, it makes me want to say out loud, these people who are fighting the president on attacking Iran. And like they're saying, well, they didn't have nuclear weapons yet. What, they've killed so many Americans. Forget about the people they kill, their own people. But they've killed so many Americans. And who do you think's behind something like this? If it's happening at 20 locations across the country, this is organized. Who do you think's organizing it? What do you think?
Let me say this. I mean, in the one case, let's talk about the one case in which there was a suspect, officially speaking, a suspect who was deported from Turkey, who was planning to blow up synagogues in the United States, and he's now in U.S. custody. This person probably had no idea that he was being surveilled by law enforcement, by intelligence apparatus, and we have the tools today to find the people who are doing this and to warn them when they need to be warned and to punish them when they need to be punished. But I'm sure that these people in Berkeley who thought that they were being very clever by putting these flyers on people's doorstep to intimidate Jewish people probably had no idea that they're going to show up on camera, that they're going to show up online, that eventually there's going to be a knock on the door, and they're going to face some consequences for what they did. I feel very confident about that. As bad as I feel that there are people who feel that they have to do things like this, I also am confident that the authorities who are in charge of detecting people like this and surveilling people like this and then punishing them when they need to be punished are going to be successful.
But is there one entity behind this to have it so organized in 20 different locations over one weekend?
No, I don't think so. I think you'll probably find that these people are, I don't even want to guess where it's from, but like I say, there's been plenty of anti-Semitism from the right, there's been plenty of anti-Semitism from the left, and there's been plenty of anti-Semitism from extremist groups in Muslim countries who are angry about what's happening in southern Lebanon, who are angry about what's happening in Gaza, and want to somehow hold Jewish people responsible for that in Berkeley, Michigan, as idiotic as that seems and should seem to anybody who can think about it for more than a minute.
Can you tell me when the New York Times started hating Israel and Jewish people? Can you tell me when and how that happened?
It's really very sad. I mean, as you know, quite a while ago, I was the bureau chief for the New York Times, and so I used to read as a matter of my obligation to my employer. I used to read the newspaper very, very closely every single day. And it occurred to me as a Jewish person in the United States, even back in those days, that there was always a feeling that whatever Israel did was good was probably not worth paying attention to. But whenever there was some kind of slip up in the Israeli prison system or somebody claiming that there was an injustice traded against them by the Israeli government, or there was a firefight in Gaza because people in Israel don't like to have missiles fired at them. Whenever that would happen, there was always something that gained prominence in the New York Times. And so I think that there's always been this kind of institutional bias against Zionism, against Israel, against Jews. And lots of us feel it, and we're sensitive to it. There's no question about that. Why it happened, I don't know. I have to tell you, it's sort of funny that the Sulzberger family, which owns the New York Times, back in the day was a Jewish family. I don't know that they still are affiliated with Jewish institutions or that any of their members still think of themselves as Jews, but they were Jews. There's no question about it.
When I worked in New York, they were very well known as Jewish people.
Yeah, yes. Others regarded them as Jews. They may not have regarded themselves as Jews, but others did. And I have to say also in the newsroom, it seemed like half the people in the newsroom at the New York Times were Jewish. So the whole thing is a little bit mysterious, but it's very sad because we've never, you know, this is a people that has been kicked. If you look back over the centuries, we've been expelled from Britain. We've been expelled from Spain. We've been murdered in Germany. We found a place in the United States that, generally speaking, has been very favorable to us and has welcomed us. And over the years, we've been admitted to universities and to hospitals and to clubs and to all kinds of civic associations. And for this to happen is it's dispiriting, but we're not going to let it break us, I promise you.
Well, yesterday's New York Times full page story on the so-called sexual abuse by Israeli soldiers. There isn't a negative story about Jews or Israel that they don't gleefully dive into, it seems to me.
Yeah, the columnist, this guy Nick Kristof, who wrote this, has really made a whole profession of pursuing stories like this around the globe, and some of them are verifiable and have evidence. But to say that there's a systemic movement in Israel to sexually abuse Palestinian prisoners is ridiculous. I can tell you that, having been in the Israeli military and having I read the Hebrew newspapers. If you do something in an Israeli prison that you're not supposed to as a jailer, and somebody can witness that or gets, you know, there are cameras everywhere today, you're going to be arrested and punished for that. Does it happen? Of course it happens, Paul. It happens in, there are probably 1,000 outstanding abuse complaints at Rikers Island today. It happens in the prison system of every country. But to try to say that this is part of the Israeli character, that this is how we manage our life, by perpetrating sexual abuse of Palestinians and Palestinian prisoners, that's ridiculous. And what's, I'm not sure which is more sad, the fact that some people believe these stories or the fact that the news standards of the New York Times would allow something like that to be printed. It's really horrible.
Jerome Levin, our friend, freelance journalist, thank you, as always, for weighing in on the news of the day. We appreciate it, Jerome.
Well, thank you for giving me the opportunity. I appreciate it, Paul. God bless you.
Oh, God bless you. As we continue, Focus with Paul W. Smith. Relentless Positive Radio when we can at 1:31. Patrick Anderson is the best. Patrick Anderson is the founder and CEO of Anderson Economic Group. Patrick, always a pleasure having you on board, my friend.
Thank you, Paul W. That's a nice compliment from you.
Well, I mean it. You've been around a long time, and you are completely trustworthy. We understand when we talk to you, we're getting good information. You're concerned. A lot of people are concerned when, once again, we find that deaths in Michigan are outpacing births, and a lot of people are concerned, including economists.
Absolutely. And this is something that I've talked about for a long time. For many, many, many years, Michigan, like most civilized places, was gaining more people than we would lose. And by gain and lose, I literally mean births and deaths, as you're saying. But after 2020, we're now 5 straight years where we've lost more people than we've gained. If we didn't have any immigration, we'd be declining in population. So it's definitely something where, you know, us, like a lot of people, are saying, hey, we should have more population here, and we should try to attract people to live here and make it a better place that people want to stay and want to start a family.
Natural decrease is this population phenomenon. It's where deaths exceeded births. It's happening a lot of places. And it's interesting because when countries try to control the birth rate, like the most famous one would be China, when they had a one-child rule, now they're in big trouble, and they're trying to reverse it. It's easier said than done, isn't it?
Yeah, it is. And you mentioned one of the, you know, great tragedies of the late 20th century, which was China's murderous one-child rule. And I don't use that word. I don't know, don't want to use the word, but it was terrible what was happening in China, where people were disappearing, or they weren't showing up, or they were disappearing, and to comply with the Communist Party's one-child rule. India also went through a not as bad an episode where they were so concerned about a population emergency and that they were, let me say, forcibly taking people and preventing them from having births. Mm. These are really terrible things that happen. And a lot of it had to do with this kind of elite conception that population was a danger and that more people was going to destroy the earth. Well, more people are what produces what we have on the earth. And the United States and many other countries in the whole history of the world shows you get more people, they're more industrious. They figure out how to grow more food. They figure out how to do more things. And that's, one of the things that makes the world great.
That person not born could have been the person who cured cancer, for example, if you want to really broaden the thought process. And before we use the coronavirus as an excuse, there were thousands of coronavirus-related deaths during the height of the pandemic. But we, as a state, Michigan, was trending toward this natural decrease prior to the pandemic.
We were going down, and you can look at the chart right here, headed down that way. And pandemic is over, and we're still below. So it's definitely something that we, and as you said, other places are trying to get more people to be born and to get families to form and have people want to live there and create families. And this is a big challenge for a lot of civilized societies now, and it's a problem for Michigan.
What do we do? I mean, how do we, guys like you and me would volunteer to help people procreate, but we can't do that. So,
here's something that we can do as leaders. Stop talking about people like they're a drain on the planet and start talking about people like they're the reason we have a planet. And some of this is religious, and in my faith, I think God made the world and put people on it. And wanted people to enjoy the world, obviously to be good stewards of it. But there's been a lot of educated talking down to people as if we're going to run out of carrying capacity on the earth. We are in no danger of running out of enough food or energy in the world. We're in danger of human governments in generally creating big problems, but humans are a blessing, not a curse. And I think more educated people lead people out of talk that way.
Humans are blessings, not a curse. God bless you, Patrick Anderson, founder, CEO of Anderson Economic Group. We always come away from our conversation much better off because you are so bright and brilliant and you help us understand so many things. Thanks, Patrick.
All right, Paul W., have a great rest of your day.
You do the same. 143 at 760 WJR. All right, let's slip Steve Dolan in, retired Detroit Police Assistant Chief. Steve, I wanted to ask, I thought that it was illegal to make toy guns, squirt guns or otherwise, to look like real guns. Whatever happened with that?
Who the hell knows? But what they do is they cover the black, or they blacken the muzzle, or they put tape around it, and you can't tell. They shouldn't make them, because people are going to get killed. Kids are going to get killed. And I was telling Mike earlier, about 15 years ago, when I was in Southwest Detroit, there was a policeman came out with three kids with guns. And I responded. I was by myself. I had an observer, but I responded. And sure enough, the three kids came out with guns. And I yelled, drop the gun, drop the gun, drop the gun. And the first two kids did. The third kid just stared at me. And I thought, oh, my God, I'm going to have to shoot this kid. Oh, my God. And they're like 12 and 13.
Ugh.
He finally dropped the gun. And I went up there, and the one kid was crying, going, it's a water gun, it's a water gun. What are you talking about? Kicked it away, and they were plastic. And I thought, my God, I would have gotten killed three kids because of this crap.
And that's what it is. I mean, I can't believe, first of all, if you're a parent and you see your kids with what looks like a real gun, you take it away. You get rid of it. You destroy it. I don't get this at all. They're putting police in a terrible position.
Terrible position, absolutely, and for it should be against the law. I think it is against the law. But facsimile firearm, and what are you going to do with a 12 or 13 year old kid? You think they're going to charge him? Of course not. They're not. It's a kid. But how would I feel if I had to kill an unarmed kid or any police officer?
Of course.
And mine was broad daylight with three kids. So, yeah, It was
unbelievable. Offer a game called Water Wars.
Well, this is before Water Wars.
I know. Years ago, you talked about being in this kind of a situation. Yeah. But I thought years ago we fixed it, but clearly I was wrong.
They still have
manufacturers manufacturing the guns. And what's worse than that, even the ones that have an orange barrel or green or whatever, the kids are covering it. Why would they cover it with tape? How stupid is that? Oops, I can't say stupid. What a bozo move that would be.
Okay, I can say stupid.
Yeah.
Because they think it's cool. And some of them use that and rob people with facsimile firearms, you know, because it's covered in black. And what's going to happen is these kids are going to get shot and killed. And that's what it's going to take for these lawmakers to say, look, or judges, start hammering these people that sell these guns. But, and, you know, these kids see stuff on TikTok, the waterworks and stuff. You know, I've been, every squirt gun should be either green or yellow, a bright color, not black. I mean, come on.
It should look like a squirt gun. It should look like those super blasters with the container on top for the water and all the rest of it.
And when we were kids, they had little orange ones. You remember those?
Yep, I do.
Hey, I know you do.
Detroit police are said to be stepping up patrols following the shooting of a teenager downtown because of the teen takeover. What the hell's going on? I saw it on television, another one, where kids took over a fast food restaurant. We're throwing tables at each other. What is going on?
It's the newest thing, I guess. It's a whole social media TikTok thing. The kids downtown, they probably thought the Pistons were going to win yesterday and be part of a celebration. It didn't work out that way. And it got out of hand. I have a solution, but it's not very PC. I'd say take a bus down there. Anyone who resists, throw them in the bus. Take their phones. And when the bus is full, then, and only then, do you give them their phones back. That's just me.
Well, what's wrong with that, Steve?
Because kids will have anxiety.
Let's see. Anxiety or getting shot dead? Or getting killed in a riot among other teenagers.
I know, but it's not politically correct for me to say that. But I can say it, you can't. Because
you're on the radio too.
And I'm not.
Yeah, but I'm not a newscaster. I'm an opinion caster. It's just my opinion. I find myself agreeing with you, Steve Dolan, retired Detroit Police Assistant Chief, more than I don't.
Well, I appreciate that. I appreciate that. So hopefully it gets better next weekend, okay?
Here's hoping, praying. Thank you, Steve.
Yep. Take care, man. Have a good one.
You too. Steve Dolan, retired Detroit Police Assistant Chief, on the water wars and on the teen takeovers. The things that we shouldn't even really need to talk about, but you see that we do. All right. I thought that Ryan Armani was on vacation. Little did I know he was working. He had a golf outing, and which made me ask earlier, what is he, in sales? And then he went to the Indy 500 qualifier for that other job he has. Is that all correct, Ryan?
That is correct. We did the Kids on the Go golf outing, raised a lot of money on Thursday, and then qualifying weekend for the Indy 500, did that for the Fox job. And what a weekend that is, too. Incredible stuff.
Oh, yeah. I was going to ask, did you have a good vacation with Nicole? I was going to ask, did Paul and Robin Stanford, Nicole's mom and dad, go with you? I mean, I had all these questions.
But I did make it to St. Elmo's in Indianapolis, which is a must every time I'm there.
You have to let me. I don't have time now. But one day you'll let me tell you my St. Elmo's story with my son, Adam.
I can't wait.
Many years ago. And we were not told about the shrimp cocktail sauce, which we later spent the entire rest of the evening watching other people be surprised as if their mouth was on fire.
I got to hear that, Paul.
I got a great story of getting in there, too, when a waiter said, how'd you just walk in? And I said, well, I'm Roger Penske. And he said, no, Roger's right over there at that table. And I went, oh, no! I got to go right over there and tell him I was just kidding.
I love that.
There's a lot more to the story, but here's what's coming up. JR Afternoon with Ryan Armani. Can't wait to hear from you. We missed you, and it's always great. You go on out, make it a great rest of the day. We'll talk to you tomorrow. Regards, Paul W. Smith.